Coming up on podcast 1239, the new MG ZSEV, MG5 and Marvel R all debut. Got the details, stick around. Also on the podcast today, we're looking at Rivian's Adventure Network, how much it'll cost and whether the rest of us can access it. Lucid Motors being on track for their next car after the Lucid Air, and Volvo and trucking get together in the EV world. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, Saturday 9th of October. My name is Martin Lee. I've been through every EV story. There is so much going on today. Holy moly. It's going to be a long podcast if I don't shut up already. And there's tons of stuff I left out of today's show. We'll start with Mercedes-Benz, an EV sales update for them. In the first three quarters of the year, sales of hybrid and electric vehicles surged, 184,000 of them. That is 142% increase year-on-year. So what sold well? All-electric Mercedes-Benz EQC sold 18,000 units in the first three quarters of the year. The EQA sold 13,000 deliveries, and robust demand, they say, continues into the end of the year. The EQS only going on sale in August. Overall, 61,000 plug-in hybrids and all-electric cars were sold in Q3 alone, of which 20,000 were electric-only vehicles. So Mercedes-Benz highlighting really there how well they've done with their plug-in versions, models, if you like, rather than full EVs. I'd prefer to see it the other way round, rather than one-third EV, two-thirds plug-ins. But hey, they've really gone down that route, and people seem to like them. I'd rather more full EVs, please, Mercedes-Benz. But hey, we know they're coming. And talking of Merck, adding 300 jobs at a US plant in preparation for the EV production, which starts next year. Adding jobs at their Alabama assembly plant by the end of the year, as Mercedes-Benz is gearing up to build electric vehicles, says Automotive News for subscribers. I won't give you too much more of this story because, of course, it's behind a paywall. I want to be respectful to that publication. But further down the article, again, if you can unlock it, it does say the factory in Vance employs 4,500 people and is the production hub for the GLS and GLE. Starting next year, though, that factory will also make battery-powered versions for two popular vehicles. They are, of course, the EQS and the EQE. Mercedes-Benz are hiring for assembly, body and paint shops, battery plant as well, where workers will assemble the high-voltage EV battery systems. So EQS should go into production there in the US in Q2 sometime, probably the end of Q2, and the EQE sometime in Q4. Read more in the link I'll pop in the show notes if you'd like to find out more details about that story. Now, we'll talk about Chevrolet announcing the name of their next electric vehicle, and it's rather unfortunate. General Motors has been in the news recently. Unfortunately, they've had to do a complete recall of the Chevy Bolt EV because of battery fires. Not actually a big deal in terms of how many they've sold and how many fires there have been and no injuries, etc. But still, other car companies would brush it off or try and, you know, just try and patch it up. But I guess big, established car producers, well, they have to do a full recall, right, to make sure they've got confidence in their buyers. According to Tech Radar, speaking at the Automaker Platform Innovator event, the General Motors president, Mark Rees, confirming the names of the next two Chevrolets that are coming, which will be full electric. That's brilliant. And also hinting about the electric offerings from Buick and other brands in the portfolio. So we can tell you about the two new EVs coming. First of all, there's going to be the Chevrolet Equinox on the way, noting that the Equinox will be a high-volume model, starting price of around $30,000, not a car that we get here, but I gather a mid-sized crossover, kind of, I would say, that of suburban car to ferry the kids around kind of thing, like about a 2.8-meter wheelbase, if you like, about 1.6 meters high. So, you know, not full-blown SUV, but something a little bit taller to be a mummy wagon, as I tend to call them. The other SUV on Chevy's EV list is a mid-size crossover, been around since 2019. You might have got there already before me. My American listeners, yes, they are going to make a Blazer. A company currently doing a full recall because of blazes are going to make the electric Blazer. Well, look, there's two ways of looking at it, I guess. You can either start afresh and do what VW did, which is basically make a Golf, but call it the ID3, because they wanted to start fresh. Draw a line underneath what went before. And hey, Golf is a pretty damn good brand for VW. They could have easily carried on the e-Golf, but no, they went with ID, right? So you start fresh and you draw a line. And Mercedes-Benz are doing it with their EQ versions rather than just saying, oh, well, this is going to be the all-electric S-Class, right? But they're giving it a different name. Other car companies are going with the existing names and electrifying them. Ford F-150 being a great example, maybe the best example. I think whatever system that they want to go for, whether they like their brand names, make an electric Equinox or you like, I probably wouldn't have made the Blazer. Not the best. But hey, does anybody really care? Probably not. Is it just me? It normally is. Next, talk about Rivian on the way next and why their fate is indeed tied to Amazon. And a really fascinating series of articles being written by Bloomberg on this after spending clearly some time in the presence of senior people at Rivian. Well, Jeff Bezos stood up at a packed conference room in Washington, D.C. and declared war on climate change. It was September 2019 when he did this, and his secret weapon, inside a very chart-heavy presentation, or deck, as I believe people call presentations these days, was a cargo truck. It was bug-eyed, and it was built by a company that nobody in the room had heard of. That was Rivian, says Bloomberg. In the second of their Rivian series, the order immediately separated the auto rookie from the parade of promising EV startups. The Amazon order was providing backing, a big book of business, and legitimacy, and it would soon start to draw in additional investments. The likes of Ford came off the back of that. Well, Bloomberg adds later in the article that on Friday, so yesterday, Rivian shared new details of the Amazon deal and revealing how closely its fate is tied to one of its biggest benefactors. Amazon will have exclusive rights to Rivian's delivery vehicles for 4 years after they take delivery of their first one, and it gets right of first refusal on those vans for the next two. Now, I always thought that with the Amazon deal, they'd make the Amazon van, lots of other companies would see it and go, great, last mile delivery, all electric, we'll have some of those as well. Now, they may well say, we'd like some vans, but they can't get the Amazon van because that's exclusive for at least 6 years, according to this filing from Rivian. Clear recognition inside Rivian as well that with its investors, that the van for Amazon is the priority. Actually, the customers, the pickup, the SUV, the R1T, the R1S, that is described as a sideshow. Wow. Until production can be ramped up to any meaningful kind of volume. The Amazon deal gives Rivian visibility and guaranteed revenue and a deadline. An all-hands-on-deck edict has been issued to get the vans out to Amazon. For now, the R1T, having had a big media launch, is taking a back seat, says Bloomberg. What about other things that we found out about Rivian recently? Oh, subscriptions are going to be a big deal for them, by the way. If you do buy a Rivian, they want to get $15,000 out of you extra. They say that Rivian defines lifetime revenue, LTR, lifetime revenue potential, as the revenue it generates from a vehicle throughout its lifetime, which they think is 10 years. If the owner, in this case, subscribes to What's Possible, which is the advanced self-driving, they call it level 3 driving capabilities, that's going to cost $10,000. Very similar to another self-driving package that costs $10,000. And a monthly subscription for the things like the infotainment, the connectivity, and other services. That's $5,500 over the lifetime of the vehicle. So once you've bought a Rivian, you are then on the hook. If you want to subscribe to everything else to make the car as good as it can be, I mean, it comes with it. They just turn it on with software. Another $15,500. Is this the way the car industry is going? I don't like it. It's bad enough paying for my Adobe license every single month just to edit this podcast. You know, $50 a month, or is it $50 a month for the Adobe license, Microsoft 365, the Apple One subscription. You know, you add the, and that's before we get to things like Netflix or Amazon Prime to watch telly. Like, not fun stuff, just stuff you have to have in your life that's a subscription. It's costing a damn fortune these days. Now Rivian saying, oh, we'll have some of that as well. What about their charging network? We're finding out more details about the Rivian Adventure Network. Well, on the charging network, RAN sites, as they call them in their filing, the Rivian Adventure Network, RAN sites, will be exclusive for Rivian owners. Initially, with Rivian members receiving special rates. Inside EVs points out that the upcoming Rivian charging network of DC fast chargers is going to quickly expand to 600 sites in the US and Canada, and a total of more than 3,500 DC fast chargers they're promising by the end of 2023. They reckon an average of 6 chargers per site. I can't see it happening myself. I'm not a doomsayer, right? I am the most positive on electric vehicles that you'll find anywhere. But what are Rivian publicising? 600 sites of 6 chargers each by the end in Canada and the US by the end of 2023. Let's do some really quick, rough and ready maths on that. So there's 52 weeks of the year in 2023, 52 weeks of the year in 2022. And how many weeks of the year left? Well, we're just at the beginning of October. Let's say 10 for the sake of argument. That's 114 weeks left. That's 2.6 sites every single week from today, from right now. Even if you just straight line it and say, well, start digging holes in the ground now, between now and the end of 2023, you want to open 2.5 DC fast charging hubs every single week from today. I mean, I want to see it happen. I'm just saying it's fabulously hard to do. That's a whole business in and of itself. They got the money. If the IPO happens, they float, they're going to have the money, the investment to, well, spend on as much as they want. I'm just saying that's a whole company. That's a whole, more than a team of people, right? That's a division, because purchasing land or leasing land or acquiring land or just finding land that you say, look, can we put our chargers on your land? Even without agreeing lease deals or rental deals, just because people think, oh, it'd be cool to have Rivian on my land, which I don't know if anybody, you know, probably wants some money for that. But then getting grid connections in, high voltage grid connections. These are 300 kilowatt DC fast chargers, average of 6 of them on a site. So you're bringing in some, you know, 1.5 megawatts of power. Not that anyone is charging at the absolute peak rate on all 6 chargers, but I'm, you know, just saying. So a big old grid connection is required. That takes time and planning I'm not being a doomsayer. I'm just saying that's a massive undertaking to just say, hey, 600 sites in 2 years. Maybe I'm just being Mr. Sensible. Let's be optimistic and say, you can do it, Rivian. We can't wait to see them. Right, coming up on the podcast very soon, we'll talk about the new MGs coming to Europe and the UK and new Lucids and what comes next after the Air. We'll talk about that on the way. Keep listening. Now let's talk about refreshed MGs coming to Europe and the UK. I know we are in the UK. The UK is in Europe, but let me explain. The SAIC, Chinese, or some people call them SAIC, Chinese automaker, have two divisions. They have the subdivision in for Europe and the EU, and then they have MG Motor in the UK. So yes, I know, geographically, we are in Europe, not the EU, but they are separate MG subsidiaries. That explains that. MG Motor's unveiling the facelifted MG ZS EV with a grille-less look. If you imagine the new facelifted Hyundai Kona, yeah, not a million miles away. It's got new infotainment, new battery packs as well, and the ZSEV first appearing in 2018, quickly becoming popular thanks to its massively competitive pricing. You know, 45 kilowatt hour battery pack, although, what, 42.5 usable, I think, from memory? Low 20,000s by the time you can do some deals, incentives. They've been providing money off for NHS workers, 0% interest on the finance with MG. It's a mega deal, right? For that size battery pack, for that size car, DC fast charging up to 70-something kilowatts, although I've only ever seen up to about 50. But I think Bjorn Newland, only one of his videos, got pretty fast speeds. But hey, look, there's definitely things that aren't great about the ZS that needed changing for the next version. So it hasn't got climate control, as in it's got a heater and air conditioning, but you turn the temperature up and down. Look, first world problems. You can't just set it to 21 and leave it. Not the end of the world. The screen is a bit small. The infotainment navigation is crappy at best, and there's no app support, so you can't control the phone, your car from your phone. But again, first world problems, all of which are being fixed, may I add. Also not great efficiency. So if you're doing 70 mile an hour constant speed on the motorway, unless it's mega ridiculously cold, you'll get 3.5 miles per kilowatt hour. I've just jumped out of a Hyundai Kona for the last 3 months, or had one sort of earlier this year, and that has crazy good efficiency. So, you know, there is some lessons to be learned there, which I'm sure will be fixed when the new model comes. And now we know it arrives in November in the UK. MG UK and MG Europe get them at the same time, and it will become even more attractive to buyers, according to carscoops.com. New LED headlights, new LED tail lights from the combustion version. The grille is covered in. It looks really, really smart at the front. 10.1-inch touchscreen. The new MG iSmart infotainment. So that is full wireless control from your phone wherever you are in the world. Remote control functions and connectivity. So it's got a 4G connection and it has a bigger battery. 72 kilowatt hours up from 44. Big, big jump. 273 miles of range, 440 kilometers. MG also offering a cheaper version with a 51 kilowatt hour battery with 200 miles and 320 kilometers of range. That comes a little bit later next year as well. But from November, we'll get pricing for the ZS EV. The next one. Wow, that's a really quick refresh. The long range starting from 34,000 euros in Germany, which is $40,000 equivalent. Tough because we have tax and things added to that price, but UK pricing we don't know until November. MG5, that's the estate, the wagon, gets an update as well. It's just had a long range version added with a 62 kilowatt hour battery pack, and all of a sudden, you know, after a surprise update a couple of months ago, now they're getting a whole new facelifted version that's coming early next year as well, again with all of the wireless iSmart technology, so you can control it from your phone. And just bringing all of these things in line, and the front looks different as well. Still looks like a Passat of 10 years ago, and that's no bad thing. And the MG Marvel R Electric goes on sale in Europe. Unveiled back in March, the flagship SUV will be sold by MG Europe, but not MG UK. That's a damn shame, because I think this looks like a great SUV for so many people. A large, luxurious MG, well, luxurious by MG standards, C-segment SUV, two powertrains, starting at 40,000 euros, which is 46,000 US dollars equivalent for the base rear-wheel drive version, going up to 47,000 euros for the all-wheel drive version, two powertrains, and both have the 70 kilowatt hour battery pack, WLTP range of 250 miles or 402 kilometers, and they have, like I say, either rear-wheel drive, 177 horsepower motor, or an all-wheel drive, 284 horsepower version. Quick charging up to 93 or 92 kilowatts, three-phase 11 kilowatt onboard charger as well, vehicle to load on the Marvel R, so it's got a plug socket on it, it's a domestic plug like the Hyundai Ioniq 5, like the Kia EV6. It can pull slightly less power. It can pull 2.5 kilowatts. You can still boil a kettle when you are out camping. You can still, you know, you can run an air conditioner off of that. You can run your fridge if there's a power cut. So 2.5, 3.6, I think, for the Hyundai and the Kia. But hey, it's still a big load of juice you can pull from that. Brilliant. More cars coming with vehicle to load, whatever you want to plug into your car. I love it. It's so cool. We won't get that car here, and that's a real shame. I understand from just, you know, the forums and all that, so be careful. The MG UK thinking that they've made their name on being really, really affordable cars, and that actually the Marvel R, by being, you know, 36, 37 grand, starts to head towards that kind of Kona territory, and, well, they don't want to go there. They want to be known as very, you know, great value, very affordable. Next, a car brand that doesn't care about that, and that's Lucid Motors. Because let's face it, you know, their cars cost 150 grand at the top end. On track, by the way, their production targets are on track. The CEO, Peter Rawlinson, telling Reuters that 577 units of the Lucid Air being built this year, and then the production next year will ramp up. 20,000 next year, 50,000 the year after, annual run rate. The company has $4.4 billion they need to make it to the end of next year. Peter Rawlinson saying that building motor cars is very capital intensive. Drive.com saying that he explained the capital raised so far takes them only through to Project Gravity, and they've got to raise more funds to get Gravity off the ground. Sort of, pardon the pun. Well, what is Gravity? The Lucid Air is the first one. The Gravity is their SUV. Now, Lucid did a sedan first because it doesn't need enormous volumes. If you want volumes, you make SUVs, right? Or even actually in the US, you make trucks. But they didn't need that for the first one, so they went with a sedan. But the amazing specs, the incredible efficiency, which is the best in the market for Lucid, will be carried over to the Gravity and the SUV. So they're going to be great specs. According to Autoblog, they'll be rolling onto the market with some stiff competition. So it's got to be right. Ford Explorer, Hyundai Ioniq 7, XC90 Recharge is coming from Volvo next year. That's going to be a big, big seller for Volvo buyers. Cadillac Escalade EV, the Jeep Wagoneer, electric Mercedes EQS SUV version, the Lincoln, the Lexus, the Range Rover EV crossovers, all coming this decade. So tough market to be in, but Lucid have got some great specs with the Air to roll into their SUV. Hey, I mentioned Volvo a minute ago. Let's talk about the C40 Recharge. Volvo Cars today started production of the C40 Recharge, their latest fully electric model from Ghent, their factory in Ghent in Belgium. If you want to find that on Google Maps. Volvo Cars is increasing electric car capacity at the Ghent facility to 135,000 cars every single year and expects more than half of the plant's production volume to be fully electric cars next year. The C40 Recharge is, well, the XC40 with all those benefits of that car, but with a lower, sleeker design is how the Volvo press release that I have here puts it. Some would say they cut the back off so you get less car and pay more money for it. I think it looks striking. I love the rear end design, lower roof line, and I just think it looks fantastic. The propulsion for the C40, exactly the same as the XC40. All-wheel drive, 78 kilowatt hour battery, really fast charging. Range, I know, doesn't win any awards. 273 miles, 440 kilometres, a little bit less on the US EPA. And some people who live and die by range don't understand why it can't be a little bit more with a battery that big. I'm sure Volvo engineers are working on efficiency, by the way. UK Care by Volvo is the subscription service which we have here. I'm not sure if it's anywhere else in the world, but the price, I had a look, and if you want to get the C40 on subscription, so monthly payments, they sort everything out for you, it's £729 every single month. Don't think that includes insurance, unlike a service like Onto would do. So investigate, let me know. Talking of Volvo, by the way, just won their largest ever order of electric trucks, and possibly the world's largest order of electric trucks. The Volvo FM electric trucks will be used by DFDS from next year. They're heavy-duty electric trucks with a maximum weight of 44 tonnes. The new electric fleet will replace conventional trucks from next year, and they have a range of 300 kilometres and used for both short and long journeys in the DFDS supply chain. Final story today, talking Volvo one final time. Geely, the ultimate parent company, unveiling a new electric car for the home market that'll start at $9,000 equivalent in China. It's called the Geometry EX3, and it's the latest from Geely's Geometry budget brand. It is a 5-seat crossover, about the same height and width as a Honda HR-V, if you like. Shorter, though, says Stephen at Green Car Reports. It has a 37.2 kilowatt-hour battery pack, 200 miles of range on NEDC. Well, 37.2 kilowatt-hour battery pack, real world, that's probably going to float you, depending on efficiency, maybe 120 miles. It's difficult to say because it's a smaller vehicle. It's a little bit lighter, I guess. But let's run some really, really rough numbers. So a 37.2 kilowatt-hour battery pack, if it was 4 miles per kilowatt-hour, it would do 148 miles. Maybe that's a little bit optimistic. So a 37.2 kilowatt-hour battery pack at 3.5 miles per kilowatt-hour is 130 miles real world. Propulsion by a 70 kilowatt motor. And the Renault, what's it called? The Renault City KZE is already on sale in China for even less than the EX3. But Geometry has plans to go into that low end of the Chinese market and make some money there. But also a larger Model 3 equivalent that'll use the same platform as the or XC40 that I just talked about, the Polestar 2 that I just talked about so much on the podcast recently, and it'll use exactly the same platform as that, so it's going to be good stuff, but a Chinese brand selling it in the Chinese market. I'm finding all this really fascinating to watch, and I hope you are enjoying it as well. Man, it was a busy one today, and there's so much more I could have talked about. Breaks my heart to leave things out. Question of the Week returns tomorrow with eMobilityNorway.com. Thank you very much to all of the Patreon family for keeping this show on the air. Our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk. For buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow, and remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.